Okay, tonight is Monday, March 19th, or 26th day of Adar. This is the Gemara Shir, Masechta Sukkah, Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai, we're still in the middle of the Mishnah concerning the Arava process. The Mishnah says it is a little aleph in brackets next to the word bishas piti rasan. Upon leaving the mizbeach, after having walked around once every day, seven times on Hoshanah Rabbah, bishas piti rasan mahin omrin. What exactly do they say upon leaving? Says the Mishnah, yofi lecha mizbeach. Yofi lecha mizbeach. How beautiful you are, mizbeach. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, liya ulecha mizbeach. Liya ulecha mizbeach. Praising not only the mizbeach, but also HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, if somebody's praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu after Netilas Arava, I have no problem with that. But what does it mean that you're praising the mizbeach? You walk around the Mizbeach and now you say, oh, thank you, Mizbeach. Well, we never find that. It's a very strange halacha. So a possible explanation is based on a Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Beis, where the Gemara says as follows, Chamra Lemare Tivusa l'shakya. When you offer wine, the wine is for the master. Namely, when you have somebody who brings you wine, you thank the master for providing the wine. But also say thank you to the waiter. Shakya is the waiter. Even though it's not his wine, it's appropriate to say something to the waiter, because the waiter is the conduit from the balabayis to you. So therefore it's appropriate to say something to the waiter as well. So there is an illustration of this in the Pasuk in Parshas Pinchas, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to select a replacement for himself. So we know that he selects Yehoshua, and the expression of the pasuk is v'nasata mehodcha olav. Take your glory, your splendor, your tiferet, your pe'er, and put it on Yehoshua. What do you mean? The glory, the glow, the splendor is not Moshe Rabbeinu's. Belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say lecha Hashem hagidula v'atif eres v'anetzach v'yahod. All of that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does it mean? V'nasata mehodcha alav? Because yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all tiferes and hod and so on and so forth. But in this particular case, the conveyor ba'olam hazeh was Moshe Rabbeinu. It is Moshe's persona that conveyed to Am Yisrael the hod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the splendor, the glory, the royalty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself offered a tribute to Moshe, despite the fact that it wasn't really his. So too here. The ultimate mechaper of Am Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mizbeach is nothing but Eitzim V'Avanim. That's what it is. It's some metal or some wood, and that's all it is. But since our theoretical kapara, which is granted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the means of atonement is expressed through the Mizbeach, therefore both the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Lezer say, parting on the Yontif of Sukkot, and most Rishonim believe that this tribute was said only on the seventh day, after they completed the entire Arava ceremony, and specifically as well related to the culmination of the 70 parim that were brought, B'meshech Chag HaSukkot. So everybody knows that they were a total of 70 bulls, starting with day number 1, 13, then 12, and so on and so forth, until the last day of Hoshana Rabbah, only 7 bulls. And the 70 bulls are keneged the 70 nations of the world. So on the last day, in effect, when we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept our korbanot, which we offer on behalf of the nations of the world, that hopefully they too will come to recognize your authority, they will no longer attack us, and allow us to live benachas ubishalom. Especially if you wanted to take the Rambam's perspective of what's going to happen liyamos HaMashiach. Nobody really knows. Everybody who says something, it's pure speculation. So the Rambam speculated as well. And the Rambam says there will be no change whatsoever from the way life exists today. None whatsoever. Except for one thing. All of the nations of the world will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and accept Sheva Mitzvos Mnei Noach. That's the only change. That's what it means. Bayom Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. They're not all going to become Jews, and not every Jew is going to be the greatest tzaddik in the world. It means that we will not have to worry about anybody walking into a school in France and shooting any Jewish students any longer. We don't have to worry about that anymore. And all our terrorist attacks, because they will accept Lo Tirzach. So once we offer the korban on this day, the climax on the Yontif of Sukkot of the 70 korbanot, we offer a tribute to the Mizbeach, despite the fact that the ultimate guarantor is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but our sense is done through the Mizbeach, so it's predicated very similar to the halacha of Chamra Lemore V'Shakiyusa V'Tuve L'Shakiyusa. The wine belongs to the owner, but the thank you goes to the waiter who brings this in for you. Continues the Mishnah. Ki ma'aseihu b'chol, kach ma'aseihu b'Shabbos. Whatever activity was done during the week was done as well on Shabbos. No difference whatsoever took place in the ceremony of Arava between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Ella, with only one simple difference. Shahayu milaktin osan me'erev. Except that the Aravos were cut on Erev Yom Tov, and they were placed in gold canisters filled with water, so that they will not, dry out. So it will not dry out. Now, this. Now, this seems to indicate that the only time that they went ahead and cut the Aravos was on Erev Shabbos. The Mishnah is comparing, Ki Maaseihu b'chol, kach Maaseihu b'Shabbos. Whatever he did on Yom Tov is the same thing on Shabbos. With the notable exception that on Shabbos they could not cut the Aravot. So when did they have to cut the Aravos and bring them to the Mikdash? Erev Shabbos. Very nice. Apparently, when first day of Sukkot is a Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, no, 2 days Yontif, on Tuesday, they would not have to cut an Erev Yontif on Monday. They would be able to cut it on Yontif itself. So this Mishnah offers support for a famous machloikis of the Rambam against the Balei HaTosfos, and this Mishnah clearly supports the Rambam. There is a machloikis between Tosfos and the Rambam as to when the Torah allows melacha on Yom Tov. Ach asher ye'ase l'chol nefesh, hu levado ye'ase l'chem, which melachos are permissible. So Nechama, you know, we're learning Beitza, that Tosfos is of the opinion that only two melachos of Sidur Depas are permitted on Yom Tov. Only two melachos. Lisha and Afia. But anything in the bread making process that is prior to kneading the dough is asur mid'oraisa, according to Tosfos. So, what activities precede the kneading process? Borer, kotzer, grinding, tochein. All of this is asamid oraisa on Yom Tov. So Tosfos ultimately allows, of the 39 malachas, only 5 activities. 1, lisha and afiyah, that's it. Then Tosfos allows shchita. The Torah has to allow shchita because it tells us to shech the korban. It tells you to bring a korban on yantiv, and olas re'iyah and a shalmei chagiga, so therefore it has to be matir shchita. And it allows hotzah and havara, carrying and kindling of fire. Why those two? Based on the fact that the pasuk explicitly prohibits them on Shabbos. We read this past Shabbos, Lo sivaru eish b'chol moshvosechem b'yoyim haShabbos. Why does the Torah say you now have to kindle a fire on Shabbos? It's one of the 39 malachas. The Torah doesn't list all the malachas to emphasize that it's only asa on Shabbos, havara on yantav is mutter. And then there is a pasuk in Jeremiah 34, Yirmiyahu, which says, Al yotzi masa mi batechem b'yom haShabbos. Don't carry on Shabbos. Why does he have to tell us don't carry on Shabbos? Of course you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. All 39 malachas are on Shabbos. To emphasize that on Yom Tov you're allowed to carry. So according to Tosfos, 5 malachas are permissible. The Rambam believes that mid de oraisa, all malachos of Sidura de Pas that handle the food directly are permissible. So there are 11 malachos of the first 39 which are identified as Sidur Depas, the bread making process. Plowing is not permissible on Yontif. Why? Because it doesn't handle the food. Planting doesn't handle the food. So you can't plant. Even if it would be theoretically possible to plant something and it would grow on Yontif itself, it still would be aser. Because it doesn't handle the food. But from Kotzer and onward is Mutter Midoraisa according to the Rambam. When you're allowed to, Midoraisa, you're allowed to pluck a fruit. You're allowed to do anything on Yom Tov. The Rabbanan put in restrictions and said, I don't want to allow all of them. But Midoraisa, they're all permissible. So therefore, according to the Rambam, we understand why on Erev Yom Tov, they wouldn't have to be pluck the Aravos. They can pluck them on Yom Tov itself. Why can you pluck it on Yom Tov itself? Based on the fact that Kotzer is Mutter. Now even though Kotzer is only Mutter in the context of Ochel Nefesh, but then you apply the famous halach of Mitoich. Once you allow a malacha l'tzorich Ochel Nefesh, it's Mutter l'chol adeis. So according to the Rambam, it would not be necessary for the Shluchei Bezdin to go down to Motza on Erev Yom Tov. They could actually walk on, in theory, and walk down and cut them on Yom Tov itself. On Yom Tov itself. And in fact, in light of the fact that we mentioned last week, that they mentioned Motza, not only because of a practical consideration that they had these huge aravos there, but because of the publicity that they wanted to generate, because of the fact that the tztukim denied the mitzvah of arava shebamikdash, because it didn't exist in Torah shebiksav, there would be a greater pirsum, a greater publicity, if they would do so on Yom Tov itself, as opposed to doing an Erev Yom Tov. Can you imagine making a whole ceremony, bringing down a sickle on Yom Tov itself, and cutting the Aravos, and schlepping them up to the Mikdash on Yom Tov? So this would somehow support the Rambam's opinion that Mida Oraisa, at least, Kotzer, Tochein, Borer, Zoreh, all of these malachos are permissible midda oraisa. How did Tosfos limit it only to 2 malachos? Where did he come up with these 2, Lisha and Afiyah? So Tosfos cites a Yerushalmi, which says that the phrase in Shmot chapter 12, which is the pasuk of Ochel Nefesh, verse 16, Ach asher yeyochel l'chol nefesh hu levado yeyaseh lochem is followed by Pasuk Yud Zayin. And Pasuk Yud Zayin writes, Ushmartem es ha-matzos. Guard the matzos. says the Yerushalmi, we all know this, that al pi din shimur lishma only has to be mishas lisha. You have to make sure that the chameit, the grain, does not become chameit, come in contact with water, only from the time of kneading the dough. Our business that it has to be shmura mishas ktsira is a nice little chumra. But al pidin, it is called shamur as long as it is shamur from lisha and onward. So lisha and afia. So once there is contact between water and the flour, now you have to be careful that the baking process should take place, you know, a chatshtayim, and not allow it to wait more than 18 minutes. So Tosfos says, since the halacha of ochel nefesh is written right next to the halacha of lishma by matzah, and since the lishma of matzah is only for lisha and afia, so this sheds light on oichel nefesh is also only lisha and afia. So says the Yerushalmi, and the Raivan and Tosfos both quote that. The Raivan in Hilchos Yontif, where he disagrees with the Rambam, where the Rambam says all melachos that handle food directly are mutar mida oraisa. So this Mishnah apparently would support the Rambam, because the Mishnah makes a point of telling us only on Erev Shabbos to wear a malakit. Yes?
Can I be called to the Araminim on Yantif?
What is that?
Can I be called to the Araminim?
According to the Rambam, 100%.
According to
Tosfos,
the Doraisa...
It's an Esa Midoraisa.
According to Tosfos, the Mitzvah Saseh doesn't...
That's correct. How can it, because a Yom Tov is a Mitzvah Saseh Vilo Saseh. Every Yom Tov is Kol Melechas Havoyda Lo Sasu and Shabbos on Mikra Kodesh. So there are two things telling you not to do melacha: a lav and a mitzvah saseh, telling you to rest. So any time that there is a mitzvah saseh against a lav and a lo taseh, the rule of es aseh docha lo saseh doesn't apply. Because here it's aseh docha lo saseh ve aseh. That's correct. It's correct. It does not apply. Yeah. There are gemaras which pose a challenge to the Rambam also, at least midrabanan. There is a gemara in Rosh Hashanah which says, what happens if my shofar is on top of a tree? It's the only, somebody hid my shofar on the top of a tree. No? You're not allowed to climb a tree on Yontif. So the gemara says, okay, so there won't be any tekiah shofar for that year. What do you mean? Climbing a tree is an gzeira midrabanan, shema yitlosh. So for that I'm going to be mevatel the mitzvah tekiah shofar? Yeah, the answer is yes. Sorry. Now that would someday mean that a gzeira d'rabbanan, certainly an isa d'oraisa, is going to be overriding it. And according to the Rambam, if you're allowed to go ahead and cut a lulav, why should you be able to climb a tree just to get the shofar? So it's a little difficult. A little difficult.
Cutting the tree.
What? Yeah, according to the Rambam, just cut the tree down, that's all. Yeah. Yeah. So again, this particular Gemara supports the Rambam against the Balei HaTosfos, against the Balei HaTosfos. Well-known machlokes about what is mutter based on Meleches Oichel Nefesh. Continues the Mishnah. No, hold on. So they place them Begigio Shel Zahav. Now, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that they used to blow shofar in the Mikdash on many occasions. They blew shofar in the Mikdash on Rosh Hashanah, and they also blew shofar every Tainus Tzibur. Every Tainus Tzibur. Says the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, shofar shall Mikdash per Rosh Hashanah haya mitzupe zahav. The lip of it was covered with gold. Okay? Covered with gold. So don't ask me that it's a chatzitza between your mouth and it. The Gemara asks that question. But the Gemara answers, kol lin oso eino chotzeitz. Anything which is done for beauty purposes does not constitute a chatzitza. So the gold trimming around the lip of the shofar will not constitute a chatzitza, and as a result, you will be able to make contribution. If I take a piece of paper and wrap it around a sieve, if I wrap it around the shofar, I will not be yotzei the mitzvah of tekiah shofar, but a golden will. So the Gemara says, the shofar shel Rosh Hashanah mitzupe zahav, Shofar shel ta'anis was mitzupas kesef. Correct. Says the Gemara, why only kesef? Chas rachmana al mamaynon shel Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanas and says, we're going to waste gold. Gold is expensive. You want to beautify it. I know. This is not just any other shul in Tel Aviv. This is the Beis HaMikdash. So we want to have it nice. Silver is plenty. Silver tipped shofar is fine. But Yontiv, Kvod Yom Tov Adif. Yom Tov overrides even Chas Rachmana Al Mamonon Shei Yisrael. Because of the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Tov, I want the Shofar of Rosh Hashanah to be Piv Mitzupe Zahav. Even though under ordinary circumstances HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking to save us money, but for Tzorech Yantiv, all bets go. All bets go. There's a Gemara in Beitza, the beginning of the second parak, which tells us another halacha about Yantiv, that everything goes. That on Rosh Hashanah, Mizonosav shel Adam Kitsuvin. The amount of food that you have allocated for you during the year is fixed on Rosh Hashanah. Chutz mehaytzor Shabbos v'Yom Tov. You want to spend a little more on Shabbos and Yom Tov, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not allocate enough money for you based on his cheshbon for food allocation, nonetheless HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises he will make it up for you somehow if you spend a little extra on Yom Tov. Because Kvod Yom Tov Adif. That's what the Gemara in Beitza says. So here too, by Rosh Hashanah, Kvod Yom Tov Adif. So here, what are we talking about? What are we talking about over here? When did they put these? When did they put the aravos into a barrel, into these little gigios? On Friday, erev Shabbos, it was Chol HaMoed. So many asked the question: why did they put it into gold? Why didn't they put it into silver containers? It could have been put into anything. Because it's not that the gold and the silver does anything. It's the water. It's to keep it fresh. You put a little water. So it could have been in a milk container also. But it's the Mikdash, so you got to do it nice. But why did it have to be Gigio Shel Zahav itself? Why Shel Zahav? And here there are two different approaches to it. One is that there is a famous machloikis, the Rambam and the Ramban, as to whether or not the Isur Melacha on Chol HaMoed is the Oraisa or the Rabbanan. The Ramban is of the opinion that the Isur Melacha on Chol HaMoed is the Oraisa. The Rambam is of the opinion the Isur of Chol HaMoed, Melacha is only mid the Rabbanan. What does it mean that there's an Issa Malacha Midda Oraisa according to the Ramban? Well, it's the same Issa Malacha as on Yom Tov. Except the Rabbanan were given the power to determine which Malachos they're going to prohibit. Which Malachos they're going to prohibit. So on Chol HaMoed, if you stop doing work, which the Chachamim feel is Asur, no, it's Asur. But if it's going to promote Simchas Yom Tov, because you're taking your son to the Yankee Stadium, right, to a ball game, or like we used to go when we were little kids, to the circus, right, and Chol HaMoed, the Barnum Bailey Circus is always at the Garden, right, 15,000 chassidim eating matzah in Madison Square Garden, nobody buying anything of the concession stand, they're all standing there looking at us, why don't you buy anything? So that's a Kiyum in Yom Tov, so that type of malacha is permissible. Or Davar Ha'avud. If it's a financial loss from which you will not recover, the Rabbanan said it was okay. But fundamentally, Chol HaMoed has Kedushas Yom Tov. Has Kedushas Yom Tov. And that's why the Torah, when it proclaims Mikra Kodesh Yilachem, it applies all 7 days. All 7 days. And we could learn something from the Chassidim. They wear their shtramlich and their bekishes on Chol HaMoed. You know, and the Mishnah in Maseches Avos made a statement that kol hamevaze es hamoados eloi chelik l'olam haba. And you look in the Bar Tanura, what does it mean, mevaze the moadot? It means you mevaze Chol HaMoed. by wearing big day chol. That's what it says. It's a mission in others. So they took Chol HaMoed seriously. So therefore, you can say that Kvod Yom Tov to some extent applies to Chol HaMoed as well. And therefore, it's elevated. Even though you didn't need gold canisters to store the Aravos, they specifically took gold canisters due to the fact that there is an element, some degree of Kedushas Hayayim, some degree of Issa Malacha, according to the Ramban, on Chol HaMoed as well. Alternatively, if you wanted to look at it differently, you can say, no, there is another address to it. Namely, that even if you believe that Chol HaMoed is essentially not a Yom Kadosh, not a Yom Tov, but basically Yom Chol, and it is called Chol HaMoed, because after all, some degree of Malacha is permissible. Here we're focusing on the Mizbeach. This is an activity which is related to the Mizbeach. And the Mizbeach and the Mikdash, every day of Yom Tov, had a different Korban. By virtue of the fact that there was a different number of parim, bulls, every day of Yontif. So much so is this slight difference between 13 bulls and 12 bulls to 11 bulls, so much so that it reflects itself in two areas of halacha. One, that we say Hallel all 7 days of Pesach, of Sukkot, and Pesach al Pidin, we only say Hallel the first day. That's it. According to the Mishnah in Erechin, you only say Hallel one day Pesach. Because the Kedushas Hayayim of Pesach is identical for 7 days. It's the exact same Korban. The standard Korban Musaf. Why is it that Hallel is recited, Me'ikar Hadin, all 7 days of Sukkot? Because Chaluk, says the Bach, Chalukin hein bekorbanosehen. There are different korbanos every single day. There is a 13 parim versus 12 parim. Next day it's 11 parim. So that's one halacha where this manifests itself. A second halacha is the haftorah conclusion of the bracha of the haftorah. On Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, when you conclude the haftorah, you say Baruch Atah Hashem, Akadosh HaShabbos. You don't even mention Yontif. Because it's basically Shabbos. On Chol HaMoed Sukkot, when we read the Sefer Yecheskel, we say Mekadosh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim. Says the Bach, the same thing. Chalukin Heim B'Korban Oseim. So therefore, since in relationship to the Korban of the Chagiga, of the Yom Tov, there is a difference between one day and the next, so therefore, it's like a different Yom Tov to that regard, and hence it was elevated to the status of gold canisters, not necessarily silver, despite the fact that Chas Rachmana al Mamoinon Shel Yisrael. Chas Rachmana al Mamoinon Shel Yisrael. So that's why, because it takes on the characteristic of Yom Tov, despite the fact that it is Chol HaMoed. So either you take the route of the Ramban, that Chol HaMoed Be'ikar Adin is Aser B'Malacha, or in relationship to unique things of the Mizbeach. So too, the mitzvah of Simcha is applicable all 7 days of Yom Tov. All 7 days. That's why if Rachman al-Islam, somebody dies in Chol HaMoed, we don't start Shiva till after Yom Tov. Because the mitzvah of Simcha applies Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim. So there are aspects of Yom Tov, of Simcha, that are applicable day one of Yom Tov, day eight of Yom Tov, and all 6 days of Chol HaMoed as well. Yeah. Yeah. So that's why it's Begigiyosh Shel Zahav. Rab Yochanan ben Baroka Omer, Chariyosh Shel Degel Hoyu Mivin, V'choftin Oso Bekarka B'tzidei HaMizbeach. V'oso Hayom, Nikra Chibut Chorios. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka says they didn't, either they brought in addition, according to most Rishonim, in addition to Aravos, or according to some Rishonim, instead of Aravos, they brought Lulavim, just another Lulav. Chorios Shel Dekel is another Lulav. Another Lulav. And what did they do? They banged the lulav on the floor near the mizbeach. V'choftin oso b'karka b'tzidei ha-mizbeach. Now, the Gemara later will quote a machloikis between Rav Huna and Levi as to what is the purpose of this banging of the lulav. Rav Huna will see, says it's a din d'oraisa. Levi says, no, it's only to show that Lev Avihem, that Lev Kol Echad is directed La Avihem Shabashamayim. Lev Kol Yisrael, all of Am Yisrael are directed to Klal Yisrael. And to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Father above in heaven. So if you know that based on the Zohar, the lulav, every one of the arba minim represent a different part of the body. So the lulav represents the lave, and by banging it on the mizbeach or banging on the floor in front of the mizbeach, it's like a symbol of Kabbalah Sol Machal Shemayim. How that happens, I don't know. But he believes that in addition or replacing aravos, the banging of the arava was done with a chorio shel dekel, with lulav. I don't know of any Rishon who paskened halacha lemaisa like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha. I don't know, and there's so little discussion about it, and that's usually a good signal that the halacha didn't accept him. If there is little discussion about somebody in the Gemara, you know that he wasn't accepted la halacha. Because often the Gemara's volume of discussion is indicative of the practice that took place within Tfutzas Yisrael. Many briefs, for example, the Rambam writes that even though you can be Mekadesh and Isha with three methods, Kesef, Shtar, and Bia, Rambam says, from the time of the Ge'onim and onward, everybody has been Mekadesh with Kesef. And one of the Noisei Kelim says, yeah, look at Maseches Kedushin. 12 blot is done on Kinyan Kesef, 6 lines on Bia, and 1 page on Shtar. That's indicative of the fact that not only Bizman HaGa'inim, even Bizman HaGemara, this was already the standard practice, and that's why there was so much discussion about it. Now comes a most bizarre halacha. Bizarre halacha. And Tosfos has plenty to say about this bizarre halacha. Says the Mishnah, Miyad Tinokos Shomtin es lulaveyen v'ochlin es rogeyen. Miyad can mean two things. Miyad can mean what? From the hand of, or miyad? Immediately. Good. So both of them have been employed lahalacha. Both understandings of the word miyad have been employed to understand this particular halacha. Namely, what do I mean? Both have been employed to extend this halacha. That miyad tinokos, the adults went to the minors and grabbed their lulavim and ate their esrogin. Okay? So you would go over to your little kid or anybody else's little kid and take their lulav and eat their esrog. And miyad, right after you finish the mitzvah of netilas arava and netilas lulav on the seventh day, you didn't delay for a minute. You did this immediately. Miyad, immediately. Shomtin es lulaveyen v'ochlin es rogeyen. So, let's first comment on the miyad. What's the rush? What's this mehirus? What's this mehirut? What do you have to do this for? So the Gaon in Maaseh Rav, in Siman Pehe, famous Goan, where the Gaon makes the statement there, and he says, it is not only for this yontif. Everybody knows that the Gaon was makpid always to make havdalah on yayin. Always wine. Rejected the halacha that chamar medina is acceptable. The only time that the Gaon made Havdalah on something else was Matzoi Pesach, when he went in to have a beer. That's correct. He went to his local bar and he had a beer. It's a machloikis, whether it was a Bud Light or a something else, or a Miller Light. But he had a beer, and it was definitely a light, no doubt. And the Gaon explained, why did he go into a bar to have a beer for Havdalah? Because by every single mitzvah, there is an obligation to demonstrate that the reason why I'm doing this mitzvah is l'shem mitzvah. Not because suddenly I acquired a dislike to the alternative. So you could say, why is it that I go ahead and ate chametz? I didn't eat chametz for 8 days. Got sick and tired of bread. Got sick and tired of rice wheels. I wanted to eat matzah. By eating chametz right after the zman, it demonstrates that I am doing so l'shem mitzvah. L'shem mitzvah. That's what the Gaon says. And the Gaon uses this as well to explain this Gemara. Why is it that somebody goes ahead and eats an esrog right after he completes the mitzvah on the last day? Why is it? To demonstrate, I have no use for this thing. The only reason why I didn't eat it until now is because it's part of the mitzvah. The minute the mitzvah has been completed, I have no use for this. So it's a kiyum ha-mitzvah demonstration, and this will be supported by a Mishnah a little later on. Please go to Daf Memches for a minute. The second Mishnah on the page. Sukkah Shiva Ketzad. The mitzvah of Sukkah, Daf Memches Amud Aleph, the mitzvah of Sukkah is observed for 7 days. How is that expressed? Says the Mishnah. Gomar Mila Echol. You finished eating lunts on Hashanah Rabbah. Lo Yatire Sukasa. You should not take it down. Not allowed to take it down because it's Huktsa la Mitzvasa. You can't take it down yet. Avol Morid Esakelim Min HaMincha Ulamala. What do? You take out whatever you need, the dishes, take that out. Mipnei Kvod Yontav HaAchron Shechag, because of the Kvod of Yontav. Now, Kvod Yontav seems to generate the impression that why am I taking the utensils out, the dishes? Because Shmini Atzeres, I have to eat in the house. So I don't want to wait until it gets dark and then start setting up the table. So they allowed you to take out the utensils, even without it. So take a look at the Gemara. Ein lo kerim laholid mahu. Ein lo kelim? If he has no utensils? What did he eat with the sukkah? How did he eat in the sukkah for 7 days if he doesn't have any plates or any spoons or any forks? Ella ain lo makom lahorid kelov mahu. What happens if you don't have any other house? You're going to eat shmini atzeres, what? In the sukkah itself. So what are you supposed to do? So the Gemara says, you poches ba, you passel the sukkah. By putting in pots, you're normally not supposed to have your pots in the sukkah. Or you reduce it, polches barba, you make it a little smaller, and which would be less than the regular shear of what a sukkah is. Now the Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, doesn't make machdish visindik from the Sal Gemara. He just writes, not only if ein lo makom, every single Erev Yontiv, every single Sukkot, what are you supposed to do on the seventh day of Sukkot? Take your utensils out. Or bring the pots in. Why? Why? Why should I have to bring the pots in? Same idea. The Rav used the Gaon to explain. What is it based on? Because once you finished your last meal, you want to demonstrate that the reason why I've been eating in the sukkah up until now, not because it's so nice outside, but based on the fact that I want to make sure, I want to demonstrate this was only the l'shem mitzvah. As soon as I'm finished with the mitzvah, what do? I passel the sukkah. or I do something of bizoyon. I bring in the cholin pot, the dirty cholin pot. I bring it into the sukkah. That's normally not nice. But here I'm showing I don't need it. Yeah.
Oh, we said last week, 2 weeks ago, that the reason the sukkah is muksa on Minyan Seres, because it might happen in a shmosh.
Correct. Correct.
So if that's the case, then how come we can effectively be advised of the rule of Esther? Someone may need later in the day to share.
Excellent question. That's why it's going to be my second part in a second. Hold on one second. This idea also explains a phrase that appears in the Hoshanis of Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos. On Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos, the piyut, Om Nitzura, describes in alphabetical order various attributes of our observance of Shabbos. And one of them reads as follows. The Yud, Hoshana Yosheves Umamtenes Ad Klois HaShabbos. Hoshana, Kodesh Baruch Hu, help. For what? What do? I sit and wait until Shabbos is over. So the Rav once asked, that's a great tzaddik. He's sitting by his watch, waiting till Shabbos is over, and the minute Shabbos is over, he does malacha. So some say that there is a mistake in the text, and it should say Yosheves Umamtenes at Knis in Knisa Shabbos, to sit and wait to Shabbos' arrival. But that's not correct, because if you look at the letter Ches of that piyut, it says Hoshana Chosha Lemaher Bia Shabbos. Somebody is waiting to bring about the arrival of Shabbos. So it already says that on Erev Shabbos you should bring the arrival of Shabbos early. Why would you repeat that two letters later in the letter Yud? So the Rav explained it based on this Gaon. Somebody wants to demonstrate that the reason why he observes Shabbos is based on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to rest. Not because he was tired or lazy, has nothing to do. How do you demonstrate that? As soon as Shabbos is over, you go straight to the movie. Right afterwards, you go straight ahead. Yosheves umamtenes ad klois haShabbos. That's in line with the Gaon here. And that would mean explain the miyad, immediately. So now your question, the lulav, happens to be hooked solam mitzvasa, and it's hooked solam mitzvasa until the end of Yom Tov. How could you possibly eat it? That's why the Mishnah says, whose lulavim did they eat? Only minors. Miyad tinokos shomtinis lulavain v'archanis again. Because a minor can't be makzeh something lemitzvasa. He can't. Doesn't have any das. So as soon as he finished his mitzvah, that's it. It doesn't have the normal haktzah. And indeed, an adult's esrog cannot be eaten until Shmini Atzeres at night. Cannot be eaten. But during Chol HaMoed, on Hoshana Rabbah, even though you fulfilled the mitzvah, you are not permitted to eat that esrog based on the fact that it remains muktzah until you have completed the mitzvah, until you have the opportunity to complete the mitzvah. So therefore, it's only based on miyad tinokos, shomtin es lulaveyen v'ochlen es rogein. So that word miyad means from the hands of, and not necessarily immediately. But as I said, we interpret it both ways. So now take a look at Tosfos. And Tosfos deals with an interesting issue. Tosfos b'dibur ha'maskil miyad tinokos. Says Tosfos. Miyad tinokos hishantulam lulave hatinokos shontim hagidolim miyadan. The lulavim of the kids were taken by the adults. The ochen esrogan shil tinokos. The ain bedavar gezel velo mishum darke shalom elo shekach nohagu boi machmas simcha kach pirish bekuntlis. There is no isur gezel here, and and there's no darkei shalom. What does this mean? According, in order to violate the Isser of Gezel, the person has to legally own it. A katan has no kinyanim, can't be konas something. So therefore, if you steal anything from a katan, it's only gezel midrabanan. According to some, it's not even gezel midrabanan, it's only asa mishum darkei shalom. Namely, if you see that I go ahead and take something from your kid, you're going to punch me in the mouth. So it's darkei shalom, just to maintain some law and order in the community. But midoraisa, there is no isa lo sigzol, because a katan does not have kinyan. So some point out, what happens if I am makne it to the child? If I am makne an item to the child, then he does acquire absolute ownership of it. How do I know that? What halacha during the Yantav of Sukkot proves that if I am makne to him, he has absolute halachic ownership and might even be subject to Isa Gezel Midda'oraisa? What famous halacha about a lulav of a minor? That on the first day of Yantav, don't give your kid your lulav before you are going to be mekayim the mitzvah lulav yourself. Because if you give it to him, and you have to, he has to own it in order to be mekayim the mitzvah on the first day because of lachem, he will acquire it because you are makne it to him. But he cannot give it back to you. And then your lulav will be sha'ul, will be borrowed to you. So that demonstrates that if you are makne a lulav to a child, or anything to a child, he can acquire it mid-oraisa. He can acquire it mid-oraisa. So therefore, Tosfos here, we're talking about, no, this kid took his own lulav, he bought his own lulav, he found the lulav, found the nasrug. That is, does not have gezel, and as a result, you're allowed, an adult is allowed to take it on Yom Tov. V'yesh lilmod mikan, la'osam bachurim, shirochvin basusim, likros chasan, v'nilchamim ze'im ze'im, v'korin bigdoy shel chaveroi, or mikalkilo suso, shehin pturin. Tosfos said there used to be a practice that in order to entertain a chasan, two guys would have a little duel and they would rip each other's garments. Or if they were doing on a horse, he would, you know, injure the horse. And the chasan and the kal thought it was very funny. And this was considered mishum simchas yantiv. Simchas chasan the kal. Problem is, can I be held accountable to pay for the damages? Says Tosfos, no. Why? Because just as in our case, mishum simcha, they allowed you to go ahead and do what? And take the lulav of the kid. Says Tosfos, I'm going to allow you to violate, I'm going to allow you to be mazik, and the simcha that is generated for the chas and the kala will grant you an exemption of Niske Mamon. So claims Tosfos. Now, based on the way we explained it, the analogy is not really correct. Why is the analogy not really correct? Why is the analogy not really correct? Because, he didn't own it. So when you took it from him, you violated no Isser. None whatsoever. When I go ahead and rip your clothing, that's an issue. You're not allowed to cause damage to somebody, somebody's property. Not allowed to do so. So it's a little difficult to understand how Tosfos comes to the conclusion that this particular activity is permissible based on what? Based on this particular halacha. It's a little difficult to understand. But Tosfos says it. Now, would this necessarily apply to physical damage as well? Let's assume they're having a good fight, and in order to attempt to be mesameach the chas and the kala, he pushes the guy off the horse and he breaks his back, breaks his finger, breaks his leg. Would that apply or not? So most Rishonim say there is no hekter whatsoever to engage in this kehaguf. Absolutely not. And they bring a proof from Maseches Bava Kama, Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says as follows. If I come over to you and say, you know what? Rip my tie, and I won't charge you for it. You're allowed to do it. You're allowed to do it. But if I tell you, punch me in the mouth, and I won't sue you in court, you're not allowed to do it. Because there is no license to engage in what? In chavala of a human being. And it could very well be that based on the fact that the difference is chavala of a human being, I can find an isur in the Torah to engage in chavala. How do I know what pasuk might you quote to say that you're not allowed to what? Strike a person. How, what pasuk would you quote? What? No, but David just says, Make ish, you shall mena. You should pay. What?
Russia,
Mama Sake Yisrayecha. Exactly. Calls him a Russia. So if it's Russia, must be that there's a prohibition to do so. And that's what many Rishonim point out. By Niske Mamon, there's no pasuk in the Torah that says you shouldn't damage anybody. It just says, if you do damage, you have to pay for it. And in this particular circumstance, the Chachamim waived the compensation due to the fact that it's an assumption that since everybody thinks that the Chassan and the Kala are going to have a blast, it's as if there would be a mechila against one another. That since if you damage me, I'll be Michael you. If you damage me, if I damage you, you'll be Michael me as well. So it does not apply However, the Magen Avraham and the Ramah and Darkei Moshe disagree. They claim that just as Niske Mamon is permissible, even Niske Haguf, under those circumstances, are permissible as well. So in the context of being Mesameach Chasam Nekala, and they have this little duel, and somebody busts somebody's face, you don't have to pay him a nickel. No chamisha dvar. You don't have to pay him damages. You don't have to pay him anything under those circumstances. You don't have to pay him. You don't have to pay him. Yeah. Very strange. Very, very strange.
What about baltashkas? So if I damage your zenius mute to destroy your clothing?
Probably is. That would be a good thing. Baltashkas, yes. Yeah, that might be an isur. Yes. Could be. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think you're agreeing to it, and all in the context of it.
Right. That's the question. If it's even baltashkas is a dinei mamonos halacha. Question is, it's an isur, right? It might be an isur too. It's a good question.
So what's the mechanism of this? Is the mechanism that one is being mochel on the other?
That's how it's working. That since there's an agreement that simcha, since people did it, there's an implied mechila one to the other.
Who cares if
there's
simcha or not? Even without simcha, the
mechila
should work.
Why are the chachamim tolerating it? Why are they tolerating it? Why don't they just say, make an announcement, do not do so? Why are the chachamim tolerating it l'shem simcha? Why are they tolerating it? Just say, stop it. And the way they would stop it would be very simple. Make him pay. That's all. Tell him that he has to pay. So apparently it works, or it's like a takana of Bezdin or something. Very strange. It's. I don't have a good handle on what might be the mechanism. But many say it's simply mechila, one to the other. Others say it's like a...
Could you stretch it and say simchas chasam v'kala is...
Very difficult. Very, very difficult to say that. Extremely difficult to say that. Very difficult to say that. Absolutely not. Of course, you can't hurt anybody. Can't kill anybody. That's for sure. No killing. That's correct. I'll tell you where else. You know where else it's quoted? The same halacha is quoted? On Purim. Somebody gets a little high and he decided that he to cause some damage. So many achronim point to this Tosis and say you don't have to pay for the damages because it's Simchas Purim. Same thing. It's very strange. Could be. And he said, what did he say? They don't have to pay? Yes, there are many who say that you shouldn't. Of course, if you take the tack that you shouldn't be drinking at all, then of course, then you pay for those damages. That's for sure. Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll stop here. I got to have to stop a couple of minutes earlier tonight. Okay. Good.